Gabcast, a podcast about bellgab.com. Visit ufoship.com for live streaming and chat.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Gabcast. I'm Eddie Dean. We've got Onan, Jazzmunda, and B-Dub with us tonight. If you'd like to be a part of the show, the number to call is 623-242-2278. Again, that's 623-242-CAST. We also have a new Skype name. So if you'd like to contact us via Skype, Skype name is the.gabcast. What's up, fellas?
Not much, man. What are you up to?
Are you guys there?
Yeah,
we're here.
We're waiting for you to start the show.
I'm just adjusting volumes here. Make sure everybody can hear us. And I'm recording the show. You know, that was a disaster averted, because if I didn't hit that little record button in my SoundForge recording software, no podcast downloads for anybody.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, that's, yeah, you could look at it, I guess, a couple different ways. Okay. So tonight, because of the success and rave reviews of last week's show, we are going to try to talk about a paranormal subject for each Gabcast. I think we kind of just generally talked about paranormal last week. And this week we are going to discuss the EVP. Are they real? Are they genuine? Do you think they're fake? Where do they come from? How are they recorded? All of that good stuff. So what do you guys think?
I think most EVP is nonsense, especially when they jack the levels up and then run it through all this different equipment to bring out different frequencies, and it's almost... certainly. And then sometimes even they do that and it's just barely like a crackle and they're like, oh, that's definitely sounds like they're saying, you know, I'm burning in hell or whatever. Just it's kind of contrived.
Okay.
It's hard for me. You know, I'm a real skeptic on this, but when certain people that I trust and respect say, well, this is legitimate, it kind of takes me back a step because I don't want to challenge their credibility because I trust them. But I do have a difficult time believing anyone from the other side, so to speak, has anything relevant to say to us.
So, Onan, who do you respect that's saying that EVP is real?
Well, MV's got one. I trust him.
Yeah. By the way, I don't mean to interrupt, but I will anyway. MV has given us an EVP that we're going to play, and he is going to call in and give us some background on how he captured it and other things. So go ahead, Onan.
Well, I didn't mean to spoil the surprise. I just that's the only thing that came to mind. I've heard people, it's been many years, probably in the late 70s, early 80s. I had a lot of friends who were into this stuff, and who am I? I don't know. You know, I mean, I can give you all the rational reasons for why it's not really a voice, but sometimes it really sounds like a voice, and then what do you do with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, my introduction to EVPs was through art and the GIS, and I always found the GIS to be extremely genuine, probably because they weren't selling anything. So I mean, I trusted, you know, Barbara and Brendan.
I agree with you on that, and just to make a quick point, and then I'll get back off. You know, a lot of people that are into Scientology are sincere. It doesn't mean what they believe is accurate or...
Hey.
Sorry.
Are you trying to get a suit, Onan?
I am. I want snakes in my mailbox.
Oh, man. Anyway, go ahead, Jazz.
Yeah, so I for years and years, I think I listened to every single GIS appearance, and I'm not sure whether I necessarily believe in EVPs, but I always thought they made a compelling case for it. But... you know, fast forward to 2013 and dark matter, and all of a sudden the GIS appear and Barbara's no longer there and they have this new guy, Jimmy Changa, whatever his name was.
Chunga.
And
sounds a lot like MV too, I believe.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
And that episode really left a bad taste in my mouth, and it really made me question, were these guys always legit? And I know Barbara wasn't there, and I, you know, Brendan said she was winding down. But, you know, Jimmy or whatever his name, Changa, was inserting himself into history that I knew for a fact he wasn't there for. You know, we always heard that the GIS were 5 members, they were a closed group, we knew everything about them and their investigations, and all of a sudden Jimmy Changa's talking about EVPs that, you know, he was never a part of, and it just made me question whether they've been legit. So now I don't know whether it's real or whether it's not.
I think that if I was to record an EVP and background, I record music and the voice for a living since 2007, and I've never once caught some sort of strange, ominous voice in any of my recordings. But I think if I was to perhaps capture an EVP or something that I would not be able to explain, I might think differently about it. You know, there might be some spookiness to it, or it might change my mind. But what I think it is, we've got a caller here. Let me add a group call. I think that's MV. MV, are you there?
MV.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Hold on, let me turn the radio down.
Please turn down your radio. You bastard.
I'm going to turn mine on. Hang on.
I had to cancel each other out.
am I on the air?
Hello?
Hey, guys. How are you?
How are you?
It's good to hear your voice. What's up, man?
I just caught your playing of that George Norrie clip. That's awesome.
How are you?
That was an EVP. That wasn't George.
Yeah, well, did you hear that? I didn't. I don't know.
Well, after the last 5 days or so that I've had pertaining to George's Guyam TV people, I do wish that were an EVP. It's really been a pain in my ass.
Really?
Someone posted a YouTube video quite a while back on the forum. It was an embedded YouTube video of a full episode of George's Guyam TV thing. And so they sent a DMCA takedown to my my website hosting company.
Yeah.
This is despite the fact that the YouTube terms of service say that when you upload a video to YouTube, you're granting a license to all of the users of YouTube to use the video within the confines of the functionality of the website. That's almost verbatim what the terms of service say. Well, I would say embedding a video on a website is within the confines of the functionality of YouTube.
Sure.
But they sent a DMCA to my hosting provider. Then they sent another DMCA to my private domain name registrar, domains by proxy through GoDaddy, which means GoDaddy charged me today $50 to respond to the request. So now it's officially costing me money because these people apparently are oblivious to the terms of service at YouTube. Basically, what it comes down to is they don't want to disable embedding for the video, but they do want to go around and henpeck who is allowed to post the videos and where, depending upon what's being said about the video.
And depending upon where it's being posted and what that forum says about the video owner.
I don't know. I mean, I'm inclined to think George isn't an entirely horrible human being, but he surrounds himself with some really questionable people. I mean,
I agree with that.
I don't know. Anyway, sorry to sidetrack things, but someone asked how are you, and I thought I would answer the question. So there's your answer.
Good
point.
My
God.
You know, the thing that strikes me, and I think I posted this, maybe I did, I don't know. Anyway, besides us, who really talks about Norrie? I mean, who in a concentrated form brings up his name and brings him as a major topic of conversation? And the same with this Guyam TV. I mean, how many subscribers do you think they really have? I mean, it's got to be
in the tens, at least.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would be surprised if they had 200 subscribers. And
it's unbelievably horrible. It's so, infomercial-ish. I mean, it comes from a place of strange cheapness. That's the only way I can describe it. I mean, it's just, it really is amateur hour with the particle board desk and the folding chair that's way higher than that of the guest chair. So George is sort of lurching over the top of his desk with his jet black hair and his black.
If that were me,
and his droopy eyes.
Coat. If that were me, I would invest my own money to class the damn thing up.
It wouldn't take much. I mean, if you've ever watched these shows about people who flip homes, if you see the very subtle things that people do to a home, sometimes within like $350 to really change how the brain perceives it when a prospective buyer walks through the door. I mean, it does not take much to spruce things up a little bit, particularly for the facade of a TV set, if with TV around in quotes, of course. But it's pretty infuriating. I mean, if it were a decent product, I could understand protecting your content like this. But it's such a horrible, it's almost a parody. It's so bad. And the irony that they would protect it with such fervor,
Ed Wood would do a better. Ed Wood would do a better job. I'm sorry.
I haven't been able to bring myself to watch even 1 second. Well, I take that back. I've watched a couple clips of Gaiam TV, but I have not watched the entire episode, so I don't know how horrible it is.
It's pretty bad, and Domains by Proxy has instructed me that I have to respond to this law firm with my name, my phone number, my email address, my physical address, and all sorts of other personal information, and that if I don't, they're going to go ahead and reveal the information to that person, which is fine because I've not done anything illegal, but it's a hassle, and I'm getting kind of tired. I wish that there was someone on the forum who were, I wish there were a lawyer on the forum who'd be willing to help me out with this, because I have a feeling these people are not done messing with me.
Why don't you use Art's Bell Gab lawyer. Yeah.
I have no reason to believe that person has any idea what he's doing. Sorry, Onan, go ahead.
No, someone posted on the forum that they could help you out, but for some reason they weren't able to PM you.
Yeah, I disabled the ability for people to send me private messages.
Oh, great.
I've just entirely eliminated that, so have fun out there.
Pretty frustrated, huh?
Well, after 6 years, you know, 6 years, what more do I need to say?
So is Bell Gab now up for sale?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but my sanity is. And so the highest bidder right now is Gaiam TV at $50.
50 bucks.
There are opportunities for you, though, if you'd like to get in on this action.
An IPO. Just
call the 800 number and... Anyway, I'm sorry to sidetrack the conversation. Again, you asked how I was doing. There it is. I told you. End of story.
This is actually more interesting than the EVPs, I believe.
It's really just complete horse shit.
It's a scare tactic.
This is an absolute abridgment of free speech, and it's an encroachment on free speech. It's got nothing to do with content or rights or copyrights or even the DMCA. I mean, this isn't even something that the DMCA belongs to. In the midst of.
Is the DMCA, is that like a cease and desist, or is that some sort of an organization that goes copyright infringement issues?
It is a particular type of notice that is the result of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which provides for a process when a content owner believes that their product is being infringed upon. So part of that process, inclusive in the law, is something called a DMCA notice. And that's just the first step of what could be many if you, in fact, decide not to abide by the demands of the supposed content owner, which in this case I did immediately just because I wanted out of my hair. It's not worth my trouble to post a YouTube video of a horrible internet TV show that has a set that you could use. You know, I mean, if they would use styrofoam on the set and just spray paint it, that would be an upgrade over what they're currently doing. I have no time in my life to fight something pertaining to that. You know,
but why are they even going after UMV? Shouldn't they just be cutting it off at the source? I mean,
well,
isn't it on YouTube?
It is a video that Gaiam TV themselves
put on.
So yeah, number one, it was not an infringing video that someone else uploaded. And number two, nothing was done to circumvent them. Like if you upload a video to YouTube, you can go in and you can say, I do not want to enable embedding for this video. They've chosen not to do that, and they themselves were the uploader of the video. So there's not one single front on which you could make the case.
What's the problem? Yeah.
I don't know. You tell me. It's an abuse of the DMCA process is all it comes down to.
If I may interject.
No.
There's a post. It says, I just spent all this time writing out a thoughtful PM to MV, only to find that I can't send him PMs. So, MV, contact me. I'd be happy to discuss your troubles, though I really only do criminal law. I might have some colleagues who know a thing or two about that area of law.
Sardondi was a lawyer.
The Never-Ender is the one who posted.
Okay. Well, I'll take a look at that. Well, I sent off what I consider, from my perspective, to be a final missive this afternoon. See, what really irks me is I took the video down almost immediately last week when the first DMCA notice came in. And then today, the second one comes into my private domain name registrar days after the video was already removed, complaining about the same video being posted. I mean, it's an utter and complete abuse of the process. If it weren't for the fact that people are saying nasty things about the video on the website, I would never have heard a peep. But because they are, I'm hearing a peep. And that entirely, in my opinion, where I come from, translates to an attempt at abridging free speech. It's not about content rights or anything of the sort. And they're violating the YouTube terms of service. I notified YouTube, but I got a response that contained all the love, warmth, and emotion of a Python script. And so nothing there is going to get done for sure. I don't know what else to do, really. It's an abuse of... I mean, what this means is if you embed a YouTube video anywhere in the world on any website where embedding has been allowed on that particular video, you are in legal jeopardy, apparently. And I don't think that that's what the YouTube terms of service are designed to allow. They're designed to protect people who choose to embed a YouTube video on their website. If you, the content owner, don't want to embed that, or allow it to be embedded rather, then disable embedding. It's very simple. You can't have it both ways, though, and allow it here, but not there. That's not the way the YouTube terms work. So I don't know. It's a pain in my ass.
It sounds like a scare tactic, or the lawyers are just going after Belgab or you to try to teach that young whippersnapper a lesson.
I don't know what it is. I have to wonder if other people are getting similar notices, but surely not. I mean,
is Clear Channel?
If you're a content producer, I can't imagine any universe in which you want to say, I don't want people to hear my content from this venue. The only situation in which I could see saying that is if a particular venue is harming your ability to create the content in some way. Whatever, there are circumstances. But I mean, this is just more people having an opportunity to put their eyeballs on the video. Why would you be against that? Yeah. I mean, people can decide for themselves whether the video is shit or not, even though it is. I mean, they can still decide for themselves regardless of what's being said around the post by other people about the video. People can make up their own minds, but bad day today. Plus yelling at customers and telling them I don't want their business anymore and not to call me. It's just been a bad day.
Well, I hope this lightens your spirits, MV. Be able to get it off your chest.
Let's talk about my past dead relatives now.
Speaking of spirits.
Yeah, you want to talk about... let me see. Let me play this EVP first, MV. And, well, let me or do you want to set it up first?
Yeah, because I don't want to say what it says until after everybody hears it.
Yeah.
And if I describe the scene, it might give you some context to help you determine what it says without having to be told. So anyway, we decided one night to go to a cemetery here in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and do some EVP recording. It was in a cemetery. This was, by the way, about 8 years ago. And this was a cemetery we'd gone to numerous times in the past. And it was my sister, my friend, and myself, just the three of us. And so in order to get a digital recording... At the time, again, this was 8 years ago, so the ubiquity of, portable digital audio recording devices, it wasn't quite what it is today.
Right.
Even if you did have one, the audio quality probably wasn't like pure, wide-open, uncompressed wave audio, which is really what I think you want if you're going to go do EVP recording.
Yeah.
So anyway, I decided that in order to have digital audio, what I would do is use my digital camcorder. I'd film as I'm walking about the cemetery at night, by the way, even though I'm not really concerned about the video per se. I want the audio since it too is digital. And so I'm standing there in front of the graves of my great, great grandparents. So my grandma and grandpa Van Deven, it was their parents
really?
That I was standing. Yeah. And they died in, God, I think they died in the 1980s and they were in their 90s. So they were just as old as dirt. And this was, so this was their parents. This is an old ass tombstone I'm standing in front of. And my sister and my friend are about 150 feet to my left. I'm essentially alone and I'm standing there in front of the grave. And then I decide to walk away from the grave. And as you're watching the video, or as you're, even as you're listening, you'll hear my footsteps as I just take those initial first steps to walk away. And I decide I'm going to head back toward my sister and my friend. And as soon as I take those initial couple of steps, that's when the voice comes in and I'll let you guys be the judge of what you think it says.
Okay, here we go. Can you guys hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay, you want me to play it again? There's a lot of noise in there, but I'm pumping up the signal quite a bit.
I was kind of a dumbass because I never really took into account the motor noise from inside the camera.
So, that's what that is, isn't it?
Yeah, digital though the recording may be, it's a digital recording of noise.
Yeah. Okay, let me play it one more time for everybody. Okay, so...
I can't tell what it
says. Yeah, I can't tell what it says either. It just sounds like two syllables.
Going home.
Is it?
Going home?
That's what I hear.
But it could
That's
be
what I've heard.
Two syllables. Yeah.
From the first time I heard it, I heard it was an interrogative. Going home?
Mm-hmm. Can
going
you
home?
Play it again?
Yeah, let me play it one more time.
I didn't hear it as a question. I just heard it as a statement, but...
But the last syllable kind of... It went up, bah, bah, yeah. You know, kind of like a question from what I could tell. Anyway, okay.
Yeah.
So here it is. Okay, so maybe not a question. That was in my head.
No, I definitely heard that.
So that's a good case for pareidolia. Is that how it's said?
Yeah, because that's exactly what it is.
As soon as you told me that.
Pareidolia.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, let me explain everybody what pareidolia is. It's interpreting random sounds as voices in your own language.
It's not just language, but that's auditory, but...
Yeah, auditory pareidolia. Exactly, exactly.
The best example I can ever give anyone is if you look at leaves on a tree, or if you look at trees that, and all the leaves are falling off, if you watch the branches long enough, you'll start to make patterns. Oftentimes we see faces. And that's because our brain is built to, it's built to take random information and try to make sense out of it.
Right.
All that being the case, doesn't negate the fact that there might actually be something there.
Yes, so, exactly.
Well, at the same time, it's sort of like, the fact that we can't say for sure there's nothing there doesn't inherently mean that there is something there.
Right.
But, I feel like, when we talk about EVP, we get bogged down in this conversation of, ooh, what does it say? Maybe you shouldn't have told anybody what it said.
Yeah.
We need to just, and we get mired in this what did it say thing where really I think the broader conversation is supposed to be, why are there voices there that shouldn't
exactly.
be there?
The general but are so they, funny.
But are the they general, voices?
Yeah. Say the that general again. In chat. The general in chat said he hears camel toe.
Look, you could tell people to listen for camel toe and they'll probably hear it, but as MV said, there's something there. Doesn't matter what it's saying.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a voice though. That's where I'm coming from. Let me ask.
What could it be?
It could be any number of things. It could be some sort of an audio artifact from the motor noise. It could be some sort of a radio frequency that the circuits from the camera picked up. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm a complete skeptic, but, and like I said at the top of the show, if I actually capture one, I might change my view a little bit. It might be more spooky and creepy, and it might lend more credence to the EVP as far as I'm concerned. Let me ask you this, MV. Have you changed your opinion now that you've caught one?
I've caught several in that same cemetery. Another really good one that I got, which I don't have audio of for you right now, but another really good one. We were standing at the grave of what appeared to be someone who either fought in the Vietnam War or maybe was even killed in the Vietnam War. But I would think that if you were killed in the Vietnam War, you'd be buried at Arlington, wouldn't you?
Not necessarily.
You could choose not to be? Because, the headstone gave the impression that this person died in Vietnam. But anyway, we're sitting there talking about him, and then you just hear a really faint voice come in the midst of us talking that just goes, "Hi." I mean, just clear, simple, concise, unambiguous, and very breathy. Just, "Hi."
Big boy.
Yeah, just a simple line. Here's another one. My grandmother, who's now been dead for coming up on 3 years this summer, she went on a few EVP hunts with us a time or two, some of which, one of which in particular was to a cemetery where people she knew were buried, people who'd been a part of her life at some point in the past. And there was this one particular guy who was a teacher. His name was Duty Haas, just a horrible name.
Horrible first name, too.
It's just a horrible name. I mean, come on, man. But anyway, Mr. Duty Haas was a teacher. And she was talking about the fact that he was a teacher and that he was buried out there as we're standing there recording. And I swear, I've got to dig this up. This is probably one of the better EVPs I've ever recorded because it was a really lengthy, protracted, ongoing vocal contribution, if you will. Some guy, I could hear him underneath everyone, all of us talking. You could hear a guy talking about teaching. He kept saying the word teach repeatedly. One in particular, I remember him saying, "I'm going to teach," or "I'm going to teach," or I was a teacher. Something about teaching. You heard it repeatedly stated during the recording. I mean, just the synchronicity of that. I mean, the synchronicity of the question, or at least what appears to be the question, going home right as I start to walk away. I mean, the context of that is locked in solid, at least as far as I can see. I'm not saying these are the voices of the dead. I'm just saying there's something here we don't understand. And yes, I have been on EVP hunts where I did, in fact, record a radio station because the mausoleum we were in was really close to an FM broadcast tower that we didn't know about. And so my audio recording equipment wasn't shielded very well, apparently. And then I heard, 95.5, the K hit, caller number 9. We got some free tickets to the movie theater tonight. Just go ahead and give us a call right now. 555-555-K, rock is 555-K. I mean, you know when you've got a radio station. Yeah. Right. There's just no doubting that. And I got really just glossy-eyed, glassy-eyed when I hear people go on about, "Oh, could it be a radio? Come on, man. There's something else going on here. I don't know what it is."
So you're a believer then? So you think it's from the dead or some other type of communication through recording devices?
I don't know, man. My whole life I've struggled with this. I mean,
it's a circular argument, isn't it?
Well,
you just go round and round.
I really hope there is something after this life. And if there's some like quantifiable scientific demonstrably evidentiary, if it comes out, yes. In fact, there, I will be the happiest guy in the world to find out that there is, in fact, an afterlife, and I'll be the guy twirling the baton at the front of the parade. But my whole life, man, I've struggled with that and sort of wished I could be a believer. You know, I see people who have really devout, thick and heavy religious faith, and I'm envious of that. I mean, wow, what comfort that must be. It would be wonderful to have that, but I just can't get myself, the square peg me to fit into that round hole because there's just so much you have to forego in terms of things that you consider and thoughts and ideas that you're just going to say, "I'm just not going to think about that anymore. You know, I'm just going to faith it out from here."
Go ahead, Onus.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp. I would dearly love for all this stuff to be true. I just, you know, my matter-of-fact nature just says, you're going to have to prove it to me. And so far, that hasn't happened.
I guess that's why I've ultimately gone on a lot of these EVP hunts, is because there is that question that I've long looked for an answer to. But I really haven't gotten any comfort in this regard from any of this stuff. On the contrary, there have been a lot of things that I've been apprised of where EVPs are concerned, recordings of children and just really horrible recordings that are bone-chillingly devoid of love or care or anything happy and fluffy and nice. The children complaining that it's cold in here. You remember some of those classic GIS recordings?
It's dark in here.
Yeah. I mean, what in the hell am I supposed to make of that? So if you think you're going to go out and get comfort and the idea that there is an afterlife by doing EVP recordings, think again. Think again. You might become more convinced that there is something after this life, but I don't think you're going to be convinced that it's necessarily a good thing.
I always thought the EVPs that the GIS played were of ghosts or spirits that hadn't moved on. And I always believed that the majority of, you know, people do move on, and it's the ones that are trapped for some reason. I think they used to say the ones that had, you know, either committed suicide or had died suddenly, and those type of spirits might not have moved on.
Speaking of,
that's as valid as anything. I don't know. Yeah.
Speaking of GIS, I want to play a couple here. This is taken from the Dark Matter show with Art Bell when the last time they were on, October 7th. And let me play this one here.
Oh, I can't do this.
It's all not yet. It's all not yet. It's all not yet.
Did you guys hear that one?
It must have been one of the earlier ones.
This is a great example of how it's harder to appreciate these if you weren't a part of their recording.
Yeah.
Like my EVP, I mean, I was there and I know what was going on around me when that was recorded. Yeah. And so the fact that it was there to me is just really, really juicy. But I'm sure to someone else just listening from outside the box, it could be just a big meh.
Now, see, to me, that sounded like they had some sort of an external speaker over in the corner of the room, and that speaker was the thing that played the sound, whatever the woman was saying, and then the recorder that the EVP investigators were using picked it up. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me, and I'm not saying I'm a complete skeptic, because I, too, believe that there's something in the afterlife that we don't understand, but I don't know. I can't completely get on board that these are all real.
Well
so or you're proof of something afterlife, you know?
I think go ahead, Anna.
Thanks. A little bit of self-discussion.
Gotta go, guys. See ya.
Later, man.
Later. One of the reasons I went into psychiatric medicine was that, you know, there was so much talk about, you know, demon possession and the conjoining of schizophrenia that I was interested to see if there was anything. I've never seen one piece of evidence that would link it to the supernatural. I used to go on ghost hunts when I was in my 20s and early 30s. Never saw anything. Maybe I'm just really unlucky. As I've said a couple of times in forum posts, I'm kind of disappointed that I've never seen anything, but I haven't. And I don't really know what moving on means. I mean, if you're dead, haven't you already sort of moved on? I don't know where we get this set of rules that says, okay, well, they're dead, but they haven't really let go and they're still here. I mean, where do we come up with that set of rules? Anyway, I'm done. I'm off my soapbox.
I don't know if you've noticed, I've posted a couple links to articles about there was a couple of quantum physicists that proposed that consciousness actually survives physical death, which I thought was interesting because that's definitely a hard science. Well, I don't know how I feel about quantum physics. Physics is definitely a hard science, but I don't know how quantum physics starts getting a little fuzzy, but, you know, I thought that was interesting. I won't pretend to understand his theory, but I thought it was interesting that you have these scientists in a pretty technical discipline floating that idea.
I think the other thing that worries me about the authenticity of some of these things is, okay, so you're dead, you don't have vocal cords. So to realistically believe that you're able to convey a message that a microphone can pick up, then you have vocal cords. But, okay, so you're dead, you're spirit, so you don't have vocal cords. Okay, so how do you impart that information onto a recording device, be it magnetic or a digital recorder? You directly impart it onto the digital medium or the medium. And if that's the case, then you're not going to hear any reverberations. You're not going to hear any room noise associated with that ghost voice, which I hear a lot of that, especially with the GIS, some of it, some of the GIS stuff. I heard the reverberation of the room, and how can that be if you don't have vocal cords? Because you need to be able to push air to make, you know, the waves, the sound waves bounce off the room.
That's why it's called the paranormal.
That's right. That's why it's so baffling,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's got no answer for you.
And I don't know if it's just this topic, if this one is unique in the fact that you can't really explain it. You can't completely explain it away, or you can't completely explain something that supports it, you know? I guess that's the part of the paranormal.
Yeah. Do you believe that the GIS are being dishonest in what they're presenting?
I think that some of the EVPs that I've heard are suspect, yes. Not all of them. And I don't know... I don't know if they're... if it's a hoax, or if somebody is pranking them or hoaxing them, if Jimmy Chunga went to that location and set up speakers beforehand and then, you know, brought them there. And I am not saying that this, but, you know, somebody could easily prank them if they knew where they were going to be doing their investigation, to put a little speaker somewhere and broadcast, you know, disembodied voices.
Yeah. I'm talking more about the GIS of the early 2000s when they weren't more well known.
Well, I think it's also, it is a show, and I don't mean to cast aspersions on anyone here, but
if you look at
magicians, where they show you, they put a bird in a box, and then they crush the box, and you think the bird is dead, and then they show you the bird flies away, and it's okay. There are two birds. They actually killed one of the birds, but it's the truth. I mean, it's ugly, but it's the truth. But, you know, nobody wants to think anybody would be that malevolent. But, you know, people do things for a show.
Yeah.
Well, I think a better example would be P.T. Barnum. Because P.T. Barnum was someone who was definitely fine with conning people to make a buck. And a lot of these, I'm not saying that GIS is at that level where they were... basically engaged in fraud, but clearly some of the people that were on Coast were.
Jonathan
Reed being an example.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good example.
So,
but you know, one of the things that sort of made me gravitate towards the GIS was that they weren't selling anything. Or were they? I don't know. I don't think they were selling anything. Was it just to get their name out there?
Yeah, it's hard to know. If they weren't directly selling something, that doesn't necessarily lend... I don't know.
I don't have the answers here, guys. Yeah. You know, I just...
What I do have is, B-Dub, you went on your own little EVP hunt, didn't you?
I did.
You care to explain maybe where you went, or should I just play the audio clip?
Well, you know, we have a lot of small towns here in Ohio that have been around for quite a while. And I found an abandoned building here that's kind of got a reputation for being haunted. And I just on a whim I was actually using my iPhone and just tried to see what I could do.
All right, here's B-Dub's EVP that he caught.
This is B-Dub, reporting for BellGab.com. I'm here in the most haunted place on Earth. We're going to try and get some EVPs here. Hello? Is there anyone there?
How are you? I'm Dracula.
Wow.
That was good.
That's was pretty horrifying.
That that's scary as hell, man. I hope you got that chlamydia drip worked out.
I'm going to see a doctor Thursday.
That's good. How are you?
So, incidentally, I'm actually going to the cemetery this afternoon. I have a funeral to go to.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the cemetery my grandparents are buried there. So I might try my hand at a few EVPs and see if I can catch anything. Now, if I was to use my iPhone, the recorder on there, do you think that would be good enough?
Probably.
I have no idea.
That's what I used.
Yeah, that's what B-Dub used for his...
Well, I hope I don't encounter the same spirit that you did.
Mm, yeah, I know.
I know. It's pretty scary. I think I have another one isolated here.
How are you?
Oh, no. I had to change my pants so many times today. It's not funny.
That would be a nightmare. That would be a nightmare.
If you guys would like to participate or call the show tonight, the new number is 623-242-CAST. Again, that's 623-242-2278. Somebody called when MV was on the line and they hung up, I believe. So if you guys want to call back, give us a call.
Yeah, well, let us know if you've had any experience
with EVPs.
With EVPs.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the entire story, because after I heard that voice, a disembodied mustache chased me out of the building.
Really?
I'm amazed. Yeah. I'm amazed you made it here, man.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I've changed my pants so many times today. It's not funny.
You know, I have two more EVPs from GIS. Do you guys want to hear those, or should we move on to another topic?
Sure.
You want to hear? Okay, here is supposedly this one is...
Eddie?
Yeah.
Eddie, before you play those, check and make sure that they don't have a little TM after them.
Oh, let's see.
Because I don't want to get sued here.
No TM.
Is there a TM written after?
Okay. I don't think so.
I think we're okay, though.
Hold on, we got a caller coming through. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, I don't want to have the show, but I got an EVP story.
Maybe. You do? Yeah. Aldous Burbank, everybody. What's up, Aldous?
Hey, miss you guys.
Good to hear you, man.
So what's your story, bud?
Well, let's see. This one time, I had these friends. I went over to their place, and the lady, she was kind of close to her grandma. Her grandma had been ill, and her grandma was in the hospital, not able to make phone calls, but it turns out that the very minute her grandma died, she got a phone call on her home recorder while she was at work from an unknown number, and it said, and it was she played it for us. She claimed it was her grandma's voice, and it said, "The end of suffering."
Wow.
Very, very clearly in an old lady's voice, not in any weird kind of scratchy way.
Right.
I mean, I guess somebody could have called at that time to freak her out or whatever, but you know, I'll tell you what, we all listened to that, and that was some pretty freaky stuff.
Did you recognize the voice at all, Aldous?
Well, I didn't know the grandma.
Oh, but, I mean, did they recognize it?
Yeah, she claimed it was her grandma's voice, and it was a little weak. It wasn't super loud, but it was clear. And she claimed it was grandma's voice. So whatever. I mean, that doesn't prove anything, just like you guys said. But, I mean, there are indications. It's more like a smell doesn't prove anything either, but there might be tacos around the bend, you know?
That's true. You guys want to hear this? Aldous, you want to hear this phone EVP? It kind of sets up this one pretty good. Your story does. Okay.
Wednesday, 8:12 a.m.
That's a Jimmy Chango.
No.
That's a Jimmy Chango.
Can you tell what that voice is saying?
Yeah.
No.
We're coming home, or I'm coming home, or something.
We're coming home.
Yeah. The I don't buy that one at all.
Really?
Yeah.
That was...
I'm positive it's a Chimichanga one.
Why is that?
Because it was just too clear. I know we've heard GIS one's clear, but it was too... It sounded like it was being put on, like, we're coming home, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Another thing is some of the EVPs sound so breathy. And if you're dead, you don't have breath. So I don't know how they pull that off.
Yeah, but I mean, if spirits are real, if ghosts are real, they're like how they were in life. And I know they don't have vocal cords or whatever, but you know, we don't know how ghosts work.
That's true.
You know, so.
Hey, I have one more EVP story if you want to hear it.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, well, this is kind of a weird one. So you got to expand the envelope a little bit here, but...
We always have to expand the envelope when you call in all this.
Yeah, and put it in a plastic bag so you can't smell it. Hey, I had this thing one time where I was really missing my uncle, who was a spiritualist. I mean, he was an honest God. He claimed a lot of things, but he was good at what he did. He dowsed, and people would call him when they were drilling wells. And he was a proven dowser in that he had his own golden... silver claims that he had doused out, and they paid off for him a lot of by equipment. It was kind of like a no bullshit mystic. But anyway, I missed him because of that mystic stuff. He died when I was 14. So somewhere in my late 20s, I was doing some things, farting around in the desert, and I decided to stop by his old house because I really missed that like aspect of like this guy always had like a far out story or some crazy experience, and he lived a life. And I was thinking, man, people are so boring anymore, all the ones I know. I miss people like my uncle. Well, I stopped by his house, rolled a smoke, and I just sat there because it was an empty house. It was kind of falling apart at that time, and I just sat out in the yard where the yard had been, and I thought, man, all those experiences, I thought back on them. I really just tried to get in touch with my childhood and my uncle. And so check this out. The next morning, my dad, my uncle's brother, calls me and he said, hey, this is going to sound weird, but I have this old friend, and she's kind of a weird lady. She's like a channeler or something. She's like in Mexico, we call them, I don't know, like curanderas, okay? Well, she was one of those. She's like a religious lady with a shrine in her house where people go to get communications and blessings and readings. It's kind of traditional in the Mexican gig.
Okay.
So my dad's helping me. You know, she's kind of weird, but she's a really nice lady, and he tells me her name. He says, the fact is that both the uncle and I used to date her, and she's like a spiritualist lady. Well, she called me yesterday, which is, guys, the day that I was there at my uncle's house that I hadn't been to since he died. He says, she called me yesterday and said that she had a message from your uncle, that he contacted her from the other side, because that's what she does. She contacts, you know, people on the other side. My dad tells me he doesn't believe in this bullshit. So he's just telling me, he's like, I know it sounds crazy, but she's a nice lady and she wants you to go see her. Why don't you call her? Here's her number. So I did. I called her number, kind of a little bit blown away. I'm like, this is kind of weird. Well, she's just like, oh, hi, honey. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So why don't you come see me? We made a date. And she acted all casual. And I did go down there, and she had, like, coffee and a muffin ready for me. And she just seemed very normal Mexican lady. But she had that altar in her house there. And after the coffee and the muffin or whatever, she says, well, let's go. Come over here. Sit down. And let me give you the message. So she did. But here's the thing, man. It was just a very normal message. I mean, honestly, I don't even remember the details. It was stuff like... It was like my uncle. It was like, hey, remember, don't be driving the damn car without, like, you got to check your brakes and shit, yo. And, you know, you're not on this, and you got to do this. And it was just like my uncle. It was all this stuff, like, that I wasn't paying attention to that he was reminding me to do. And this lady's telling me this. So I'm not saying that any of that is believable, but to me, it really affected my perceptions. Because that happened to me, okay? I didn't make it up. I didn't have anybody to prove anything to. I didn't need a damn story, another one. But that just happened, man. So I got to look at that and go, well,
that's like the smell of the tamales that you don't see, you know? And there's a reason these smells waft through the air from a forward place in time, perhaps. I don't know what the reason is, and I don't know what the tamales taste like, but there's something going on. All I know.
I think it all boils down to when you personally experience a paranormal event or EVP or telekinesis or whatever it might be, it lends more credence to it because it's more mystifying, you know? And as a outside observer listening to your story, Aldous, I'm like, yeah, you know, that's so general and basic information that how can you be sure that that was your uncle, you know, channeling that information? I mean, you believe it.
I don't believe in that anyway, so I have a double hard time because I'm not sure that's what my uncle would be up to.
Right.
He's not the kind of guy that would be pussy-footing around with that. He would just, like, throw a rock at you, okay, if he had to get a message to you. But at the same time, how the hell does that happen basically the same day that I go think about that man for at least half an hour in his old backyard? Mm-hmm. That's the freaky part.
Yeah. That's a good story.
Yeah.
Well, I got lots of them. I'll call some other day, but I like listening to you guys, so I'm going to go do it again, okay?
Thanks. All right, man.
My call.
Thanks, right, Aldous.
Man. Thanks, Aldous.
Have a good one.
Colin.
I know.
So, Eddie Dean and Onan, you guys sound very skeptical.
Yeah, I guess I am. I'm pretty skeptical about this, especially about EVPs, because, I mean, I record music for a living, so, I mean, I have a hard time believing it. And I mean, that's not to say that I wasn't once a believer, because when I first heard EVPs on Coast to Coast, or I can't remember, it probably was Coast to Coast, I was blown away. I'm like, this can't be possible. You know, I was dumbfounded that what I was hearing, and I believed it, you know. And then after a while, I started thinking about it and listening to a bunch of examples and started applying logic. And yeah, I don't think I believe it anymore. I'd like to.
Yeah. Well, you know, so let's say MV's EVP, that noise could have been caused by, say, he had a cell phone in his pocket and it rang, and that was the motor that was causing it to vibrate. Pick that up.
That
could be one explanation. But I listened to that and it sounds quasi-convincing. I mean, I'm not saying it's a slam dunk, but it's definitely not one of these situations where, like on Ghost Hunters, where it's you just hear like a scratchy sound and they're like, ooh, that said this.
Yeah.
And one thing that annoys me about those shows is they always tell someone what they think it is before they let them listen to it. That is bad form. They should let them listen to it and then ask them what they think it is. And if they have an agreement, then that's in some ways, that's corroboration.
Right. Of what they're saying, at least.
They disclose that prior to letting them hear the... So they're polluting the... they're biasing the result.
When I hear a voice say something along the lines of, hey, my wife lives at 213 South Street, go tell her I'm okay, I'll start believing in it. But this... All this is so nebulous and so...
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's like, you can translate it into anything. It's on the same level of astrological forecasts. I mean, take what you will, but they say anything, you know, you can translate it to mean anything. So, I don't know. I don't know. That's it. I don't know.
I was listening to a couple examples while I was preparing to find EVPs to play on the show tonight. And there was one site that I couldn't believe they were actually even calling them EVPs. And of course they had, you know, the text on what they thought they said, but it was basically just electronic gate or compression opening and closing. I mean, it sounded like symbols words. But syllables, you know, you could make it out to say just about anything as long as, they match up with the words you think it is. But, yeah, it's some examples out there are really ridiculous, and some examples out there are mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Jazz? Are you still with us?
I had my phone on mute.
Oh, you were on mute.
Yeah.
I thought you were being awfully quiet back there.
Yeah, no, I just, I used to like those guys, Ghost Hunters, that were on the Sci-Fi Channel until they did a Halloween episode. And it was a live episode, so obviously when you do stuff live, there's going to be a lot of downtime where things aren't happening.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. one of the guys on there had, you know, his hands in his pocket, and he pretended he did something in his pocket, like he had some string that he was pulling.
Oh, yeah, he was pulling something else, buddy.
Was,
yeah.
And yeah, then he pretended as he got pulled backwards, and it was just obviously a huge hoax. And I'll post the link to a video in the chat, but it really, you know, just proved to me that people who are selling something, if they're on TV and they're telling you, you know, this is paranormal, but they're also selling stuff, then I'm going to have a hard time believing them.
Yeah.
Which goes back to why I always thought the GIS were on the level, because they weren't selling anything. But I think my attitude towards them has definitely changed.
Well, I'm not here to dissuade you or change anybody's opinion. I mean, because I got to tell you the truth. When I was listening to some of these examples today to try to find the clips to play for the show, I'm like, wow, I almost convinced myself that they were real, you know, just because they're so shocking, you know, outstanding and weird. Because it's difficult to explain.
Well, it's like crop circles. You know, initially everyone was like, wow. You know, that's crazy. And then you saw the two guys out there with their boards.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. I had no idea it would have been that easy. But yeah, I could. And then that totally changed everything.
Speaking about crop circles, the latest episode of Stuart Roberts, Robbins, Exposing Pseudo-Astronomy, he did about the latest crop circle that Linda Moulton Howell reported on, where she was saying that, giving all the points, saying that it was real, you know, that because the, you know, you can't make a right angle with two guys in a board, and because it would take 9 weeks to create this crop circle. Go ahead.
Is that the one that looked like a computer circuit or
yeah.
like a chip?
And okay. and it turns out that in NVIDIA, which is a graphics card company, hired somebody to go or hired a bunch of people to go out and create this thing as like a promotional stunt. And they did it in a night, you know?
Yeah.
So it just goes to show that it's possible to be able to create in regards to crop circles in one night and dumbfound people.
Yeah. Well, it's disappointing to see someone like her who just gets on board for something. And it's, you know, even in the face of, you know, being demonstrated to be incorrect, continues to insist that it, you know, it's sad.
Yeah.
I mean, what do we think of Linda Moulton Howe? I know she used to sell stuff. You know, she falls into that category. But I always found her very genuine, that she was actually going out there and investigating and, you know, asking questions of people. So, and I thought, why go to all that effort if she is bullshitting us? So what do you guys think of her?
Hope I like so, her. I think overall she seems pretty credible. Wow, I did a George Norrie there. She seems pretty credible. She seems pretty credible in my mind. I don't think she's... I think she believes what she's reporting, and if she...
I'd go along with that.
...lets some of the ideas slide a little bit, or if she fudges here and there on the side of paranormal.
Lot of people that profess to be psychics and, you know, mentalists and like the Uri Gellers, they've all fooled really experienced scientists because they don't know what to look for. And I don't think Linda Moulton Howe was trying to be disingenuous so much as she was just fooled by the sleight of hand.
Yeah. She's not skeptical enough, and neither is George Knapp. And George Knapp, again, you know, there was the whole Bigfoot thing with Ketchum, the veterinarian who did the DNA.
Yeah.
But then also, like, Bob Lazar. Are you going to tell me that Bob Lazar is real?
No.
You guys know? But, I mean...
No.
But I will tell you, that, not to get too far off, but I learned a great deal from Bob Lazar in that I knew what a non-denial was, but this guy gave me a level of understanding it and being able to appreciate it. So when I talk to people today that might be trying to con me to get disability, you know, I can see past it a lot better thanks to that guy. So I'm appreciative.
Nice. He schooled you.
He did. Anyway, didn't mean to sidetrack, but...
That's okay.
I feel like, you know, with Linda Moulton Howe, you have, to some extent, the alien abduction, but her big thing is the animal mutilations.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's been explained.
It really has.
You know, insects, birds,
but
just natural causes.
Wasn't a big thing about the animal mutilations was the precision cutting, the draining of blood.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to prove it all, but I'm just going by all the Linda Moulton Howe episodes I've heard over the years. You know,
if an animal dies on ground and it's bleeding out, the ground will absorb almost all the fluids within a short period of time.
I'll give you that. What about the precision cutting, the cutting of the genitals?
Most animals that are what's the word when they eat dead? Not carnivorous, but when they choose to eat dead flesh, they will go after the soft tissue first. It's why the eyes are gone. It's why you'll see the anal sphincter chewed into.
Could you say that one more time, except slower? Sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. I will, but it'll cost you $2.99 a minute.
I'll pay it, buddy. I'll pay it just to hear you say it slowly.
Sorry. Anyway, a lot of animals that eat that, they have very sharp teeth and they can make what appear to be very precise cuts when actually they're just munching down.
And what about the black helicopters that were always seen?
Those are
mine. Bullshit.
Just
bullshit.
A coincidence.
Well, you know what I think is funny?
I've listened to a lot of Linda Moulton Howe episodes. And
what cracks me up is if the United States government needed cattle to experiment on, they would just get their own.
Yeah, well, that's what Art always used to say. That was like, why don't they just buy their own cattle? But the counter argument to that was, well, they want to take a random sample from different farms, different areas, to do whatever they needed to do for whatever experiments they were doing.
Good point.
It's like... It's effectively you can't really prove a negative.
Yeah.
So some rational thought behind it. And why would, let's just presume for a second that aliens are here and they have craft and they're able to navigate millions of light years to come here to investigate the innards of a cow. Doesn't that strike you as a bit like, why?
I guess genetically cattle resemble humans, but I mean, I agree. It's
would
ridiculous.
Agree.
What's that? Yeah. Somebody else said something.
I would agree.
Are we getting more EVPs?
We are getting more EVPs. I don't know where the hell they're coming from, but they're creepy. I don't understand.
Who's in a haunted location that's producing all these EVP activities?
I don't know. It's
gas. Maybe that's it.
Pretty incredible.
Incredible story.
That would explain it.
I don't know. It feels like this is a good spot to end it, don't you guys think?
Yeah.
I think it's a good time to say goodnight.
We did the entire show on EVPs.
We did, pretty much.
I didn't think that we would. I thought we'd maybe take a half an hour and then move on to bell gab topics or something. But
my number was 17 minutes. So we'll wear this out 17 minutes.
Really? 17? Well, I thought 30, but it was fine. I think it was a great discussion, and I don't think we learned anything, but...
No.
But it was still hopefully entertaining. Thanks to everybody at UFOship.com in the chat room. We completely ignored you tonight. My apologies. We usually try to pay attention to you, but thank you for listening. Thank you to Onan Jazzmunda, B-Dub. I'm Eddie and Dean, and we will see you next time. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.